O love that will not let me go. As a pastoral psychotherapist and marriage and family therapist, I hear many stories of a variety of life experiences. Many of those stories are people on a road that they would never choose. And as I sit in my chair and walk alongside the other, I remind myself that the love of God will not let us go. And that, my friends, is what we worship today, and that's what we're about today as we gather around the table. Obviously, this is the first Sunday of October, and we join believers around the world on World Communion Sunday. Christians are gathering today in unity and ecumenical cooperation. What a concept, right? Ecumenical cooperation and unity. The first celebration was in 1933 in a Presbyterian church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dr. Hugh Thompson was the pastor. Years went by after that first inaugural celebration, and someone was asked about the origins of the World Communion Sunday. And that person said the concept spread rather slowly at first. People didn't give it a whole lot of thought. It was during the Second World War, and the spirit caught hold. Isn't it interesting, during war, the spirit catches hold? He said that we were trying to hold the world together, and it symbolized the effort to, our effort, our feeble effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, friends, if you turn on the news or you scroll your iPad or your phone and catch updates, I think we could all agree this morning that there's a desire within each of us to hold the world together. So today, in unity and ecumenical cooperation, we join our neighbors in Haiti. We join our new friends in Uganda. We join our believers in Christ in Kenya. Our text for this morning is probably one of the most familiar texts in all of Scripture. I invite you to take your order of worship. John 3:16. And you'll see it on the screen there, and I invite you to join me as we say in unison John 3:16. Will you join me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The focus of our worship this morning is the table. It's not by accident that the table is at the focal point of our worship center. And later in the service, you will hear some words similar to this. Take, eat, and remember. So for our few moments of meditation this morning, I want us to think collectively together this morning. What are we to remember? What is it that we are to remember that Jesus is saying? The Eucharist, as some would say, is the language of the New Testament taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and it means thanksgiving. Some people call what we participate as the Eucharist, but it's a central act of Christian worship. And as Jessica explained to the children earlier, it's a symbolic ritual a symbolic act. I always find Eugene Peterson's translation to be insightful and informative and gives nuances to the language that otherwise you might not gather from another translation. I want to read to you the translation from Eugene Peterson's Message and remind you that Eugene Peterson was a thought-for-thought translation. So in other words, some of the translators, like the NIV or the New American Standard or some of the other translations, they would be considered a word-for-word translation where they take the language of the Old Testament and the language of the New Testament and translate it into English. Peterson, on the other hand, would take the thought and the concept that Jesus or the writer was writing about and do a thought-for-thought translation. And here's what Peterson said. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger. You get the image? God didn't go to the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. St. Augustine had a wonderful quote. Augustine said, God loves each one of us as if we were the only person He had to love. And God loves all of us like He loves each of us. Friends, that's a good word today, isn't it? God loves each of us as if we were the only person He had to love. And He loves all of us like He loves each of us. In my study this past week, I was picked up one of C.S. Lewis's writings, and I was intrigued by the language that C.S. Lewis talked about when he talked about the New Testament word for love. And he talked about the difference between need love, N-E-E-D, need love, and gift love. Obviously, need love is human love. But gift love, on the other hand, is out of the emptiness and out of the overflowing of God's abundance, which is what we celebrate and worship today. Gift love is born of fullness, and the goal is to enrich and enhance the beloved. That would be you and me and all of our friends around the world. So it moves to bless and increase rather than diminish. There's a part about this that we're talking today that is beyond our comprehension. We can understand the human components of the love of God better than we can understand the divine. But we only grasp the divine if we can gain a glimpse at the human. A name that might be familiar to some of you, Dr. Bill Hall, was a professor and writer and great theologian. He was an expert on the Gospel of John and wrote volumes about John's Gospel. And here's what Dr. Hall said. He said that for God to lavish His love on the entire world, which obviously did not love Him back, rather than to limit it to his chosen people, meant that the everlasting mercy bestowed in Christ has gone far beyond the boundaries of the ancient covenant with Israel. The human love knows how to love back when we are loved. The divine love knows how to love, and as the choir sang earlier, a love that will not let any of us go. Dr. Karl Barth was a great Swiss theologian, and he came over to the United States to lecture at Union Theological Seminary. And there was a time for question and answer after the great theologian's lecture. And one student asked the question boldly, "Dr. Barth, what truth has come to mean the most to you in all these years of your training and teaching?" There were several moments of silence as the great theologian thought. The students leaned forward in their chairs in their lecture hall, wondering what in the world Karl Barth would say. You could hear a pin drop in the lecture hall. Slowly, Dr. Barth raised his head and said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." So as we come to the table today, that's what this is representative of. That is the symbol that we commune with God and that we receive individually and collectively. One of the highlights of my life is being a grandparent. It's not overrated. My grandson is 2 years and 2 months, and I love nighttime rituals. And one of the rituals that Hughes, my grandson, has is he likes to be rocked, and he likes for us to sing what he calls "Whole World." And we pray for Mommy and Daddy, Missy and Doc, Pop Pop, Nana. Don't leave out Mimi. And if you forget one of those, he will correct you at 2 years and 2 months, and he won't lay his head down until you have included everyone. Well, friends, that's pretty good theology. That the love of God that will not let any of us go has each of us in his good and faithful hands. When we partake and receive communion, and we invite all of you who are believers in Christ to join us as we worship, I invite you to remember the love of God that will not let any of us go. Will you join me as we pray? Our Father, I'm thankful today as I look out among your people here in this place. And I'm reminded that each one of us is in your good and faithful hands. There's a part about that, oh God, that I cannot even comprehend. But the part that I do understand, I can only say, "Holy, holy, holy." So we come to your table and we give you thanks. Hear our prayer, O Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake and for Christ's sake alone. Amen.